The theme is knowing what to say and when to say it. Knowing what to say and when to say it. And so before I get into this, Proverbs 10:19 and 20, that's where we're going to start out. But I just want to say to my bride, I love her. And I want you all to know that she's a part of my ministry. You know, we do this together. You know, every time before I get ready to share, you know, I have my bride pray over me. And some people are like, oh, why is he doing it? I'm like, because I like being prayed up, you know. And so I know my bride cares for me like no one else. And so I love you there, Miss Nora. And thank you for your prayers and doing life with me. Anyway, Proverbs chapter 10, verse 19 and 20 reads, sin is not ended by multiplying words, but the prudent hold their tongues. The tongue of the righteous is choice silver, but the heart of the wicked is of little value. The lips of the righteous nourish many, but fools die for lack of sense. Heavenly Father, this morning we dive into this love letter that you have given us and for us to read and to take hold of and to apply it to our lives. Father, may the words shared this morning, specifically the words that you give us in this love letter to us, may we not just look at it, and maybe not just hear it, but be doers of your word. Father, I pray for your anointing. I pray that that I would say no more than what I'm supposed to, and that the words I speak are from you and you alone. In your name I pray. Amen. Many years ago, there was this article that was written. It was called Giving Instructions in Small Doses. And it read in this leadership type newsletter for automotive industry, this guy by the name of Ted Pollack. And he said, when you have complex instructions to give, particularly to inexperienced workers, don't overwhelm them with explaining everything all at once. Just don't say, just give it to them all at once. Give it to them one portion at a time. Make sure that the employee gets that part before you move on to the next part, all right? That's excellent advice, I think. Just make sure you get it before you move on. Don't make sure you have it well. I remember when I was in the Marine Corps and I was part of a team that was writing a new directive on how to use what's called an Aerox 8. And it's a piece of equipment for skydiving when you're up at altitude. And so we were writing this manual. And so they had a representative from each branch of the service. And I was representing the Marine Corps. Oh, my. Anyway, so they're like, how to write this manual so that everybody gets it. And it seems like every time they got to like a tricky part, they looked at me like, do you get it, Marine? You know? And so it's like, okay, if the jarhead gets it, then everyone should get it. So, but you get one, just one piece at a time. Just explain it one piece at a time. And that's exactly, for me, what the book of Proverbs does. God gives wisdom in small doses. The great number of these snippets of wisdom deal with how we speak, what comes out of our mouth. Many of our problems today come out of our mouths because we say the wrong thing, or we say it the wrong way. How many remember that show? There was a sitcom a number of years ago. It came out in the late 80s. Family Matters. Maybe Family Matters, remember? Okay, yeah. There's this guy, Urkel, all right? So now you're like, oh, yeah, that guy. What was his famous line he'd always say? Did I do that? All right? And sometimes I think that, you know, some of the things that come out of our mouth, it's like, did I say that? It seems like we need to be careful what comes out of our mouth. You know, all it takes is like maybe 30 minutes, 30 seconds to 30 years of your career down the drain. 30 seconds of maybe something in a heated argument or disagreement with someone that you love a lot, gone. Your reputation within 30 seconds, gone. All it takes is all those years of building up that reputation that you have, and it's gone instantaneously because you chose the wrong thing to say or to do. The author of Proverbs, Solomon, was cognizant of the power of the tongue. And when you read his thoughts on the subject in the Proverbs, you will find God's wisdom in small doses telling you to, the first thing is, shut up. I know somebody's like, oh, I don't believe this pastor just said shut up. Be quiet. Zip your lips, however you want to say it. Shut up. Some verses tell us in plain English to be cautious about what we say, to never miss an opportunity to keep our mouths shut, to be quiet. Proverbs 17:14 says, starting a quarrel is like breaching a dam, so drop the matter before a dispute breaks out. Proverbs 17:24-28 says, the one who has knowledge use words to with restraint, and whoever has understanding is even tempered. Verse 28, even fools are thought wise if they keep silent, and discerning if they hold their tongues. Proverbs 11:12, a man who lacks judgment derides his neighbor, but a man of understanding holds his tongue. Certain things are necessary for life, like food and water, protection. But some things are not life necessities, all right? Not every time do you need to state your opinion about something. You don't have to always have the last word. Whether it's a disagreement, to demand our way in every discussion, to defend ourselves from every criticism, or to draw a line in every issue. Sometimes we just need to keep our thoughts to ourselves. As I used to say in the Marine Corps, in the military, just stop rimming them soup coolers, all right? Soup coolers, your lips. Stop. Not everything you say is edifying. Secondly, build up. It isn't just enough to be quiet, all right? But God hasn't called us to take a vow of silence either. He didn't say, okay, there's a time to keep quiet, but then again, there's a time to speak up. You're not to be silent like some medieval monk, all right? There's a time in which we are to speak. He has given us a remarkable capacity for the human language. He wants us to build up one another. Proverbs 15:4 says, the tongue that brings healing is a tree of life, but a deceitful tongue crushes the spirit. Proverbs 16:23-24 reads, a wise man's heart, his mouth guides his mouth, and his lips prompt instruction. Pleasant words are a honeycomb, sweet to the soul and healing to the bones. We need encouragers. Did you hear Dwayne this morning just giving, he said, we just need those words of encouragement. You know what? There are times, let me just speak for myself, because maybe not you. But sometimes you need encouragement and you don't even realize it until that encourager comes. Has that ever happened to you? It's like, man, I needed someone to speak into me the way you did just now. It's incumbent upon us to encourage one another. Barnabas was known, Barnabas in the New Testament, the New Covenant, Barnabas was known to be an encourager. He was titled the son of encouragement because he was always encouraging everybody. You know what? Remember Stephen? Stephen in the New Testament, remember? You know, he was stoned, right? Stoned to death. All the Christians, you know, they were being beat up, persecuted. And here's Barnabas. Hey, team, I know life is hard. I know we're being dealt some blows here. Stephen, my goodness. But keep the faith. Come on. You can do it. It says in Acts 11:22, news had reached the church in Jerusalem, and they sent Barnabas to Antioch. And when he arrived and saw what grace of God had done, he was glad to encourage them all to remain true to the Lord with all their hearts. He was a good man, full of the Holy Spirit and faith, and a great number of people were brought to the Lord. When Barnabas came into town, you know something was going to happen. He was going to come alongside you and say, hey, how you doing? How you doing? First Thessalonians 5:11 says, therefore encourage one another and build each other up, just as in fact you are doing. We need to do that. We're directed to do that. How many baseball people do we have here? All right, I know I had one, and so maybe this is just for you. All right, John. All right, okay. So there is this guy, baseball player by the name of Lou Gehrig. Gehrig played for New York back in the day. All right, yeah. And so he started his baseball career. And he got into a slump, a hitting slump, like a non-hitting slump. He wasn't going anywhere. He got really demotivated. And he said, you know what? Maybe it's just time for me to quit. And a friend by the name of Paul Kirchhoff, who played in the minors, he went to the majors. He played the position of catcher in the majors. And he was like the shortest catcher in the majors, but he didn't stay there long. He ended up being a scout for the New York Yankees, and he heard about Lou's slump, and so he took a train. That'd be the equivalent of us like getting in a plane and flying somewhere. But he got in a train, and he took this train to Hartford, Connecticut, and he said, "Hey, meet me there, Lou." And so they met at this place called the Bond Hotel. Now, back in the day, the Bond Hotel was the joint, all right? It was the place, all right? And so he said, hey, meet me there, and I'll buy you a steak dinner, all right? And so the two met, and this player, Lou, poured out his heart. He's like, man, I just don't know what's going on. Then he came along, Paul came along and he said, hey, listen, you know, you're not the only one that has gone through slumps. There's a guy named Ty Cobb, and he went through a slump, and he's in the Hall of Fame, right? And so he just poured into this young guy. And so Lou takes Paul to the airport and says, "Hey, thanks for encouraging me, and appreciate that. And so thanks for the steak dinner." And he was off. So the next day, there's a game, and he starts knocking him out of the park. For the next 11 games, he went through 22 hits, including 6 home runs, and his career took off. He said, "After that, I decided that he wasn't going to quit." There are times when there are friends that are near, whether they're near or far, they need us. They need our encouragement. And I tell you, there's, because I've been a recipient of that encouragement, there's nothing that will make your pastor or any pastor or anyone, I don't want to just relegate it to just one, to me, but to hear words of encouragement. There's a young man in Fairbanks. He was going through a hard time. And I don't say this to toot my horn, hear me. But I just knew that he was having a hard time. So I got on a plane and flew to Fairbanks. He's like, "Man, what are you doing here?" He was like, I'm like, "You're not doing good. You're not doing well." He goes, "You came up here just to tell me that?" I said, "Yeah, but I'm here to encourage you. You know what? I love you." And that changed his demeanor altogether. We talked for a couple more hours. I got back on a plane and flew back here. We need to be intentional about encouraging one another. Lastly, we need to speak up. All right. So there's those times when that we're to be quiet, and then there's those times that we encourage, but then there's those times that we need to speak up. Proverbs 31:8-9 says, "Speak up for those who cannot speak for themselves, for the rights of all who are destitute. Speak up and judge fairly. Defend the rights for the poor and needy." As children of God, we need to stand up and speak up. There are times when we need to speak up. Just because you're a child of God, because you're a Christian, doesn't mean like, okay, I'm a Christian, and so I'm just going to sit here and be quiet and read my Bible and say my little prayer. Amen. Bless the food. There are times that we as Christians need to stand up and speak out. It doesn't. It's not the volume of what we say when we speak out, all right? Not being loud. It's just speaking up against the wrong thing. I speak out against abortion, murdering babies. I'm not gonna stop speaking up about that. Because it's wrong. There's nothing, I don't care what they say, it's just wrong. It's murder. And I will make a stand on that. And there may be people that are like, "Oh, JR, that's kind of hard." I'm like, "No, that's God's word." And I'll take that stand. And whether it's going out on a weekend and my bride and I walking 5K, people walking by honking their horns, "Hey, look at those guys, they're walking. I wonder what they're walking for." But the signs are right there. It says, "Heart reach." We need to make a stand. We need to make a stand for those, for kids who are being abused. We need to provide a safe place for them. 907 Reach, or is it Reach 907? I always mess that up. All right. They have a camp that's coming up soon. All right. We need to speak up and be advocates for them. That's what Christian folk do. Even Jesus, some people always envision Jesus as the one holding the little lamb, and that's true, but he was also the one that said, I've had enough. When he went in and cleansed the temple, you know, for me, that when I see something in all of the Gospels, when it's in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, where Jesus said, I've had enough, you've turned my father's place into a den of thieves. He said, I've had enough. Start tossing tables. He said, enough is enough. He spoke up. Man. We need to do the right thing. We need to speak up. There was a woman back in the mid-50s. Her name was Rosa Parks. Maybe some of you have heard her story. She was in Montgomery, Alabama, and the city buses back in the day, there was segregation. And if you were of color, if you were black, then you were in the back. And Rosa Parks, she was getting on the bus that day, and she'd already had a confrontation with that particular bus driver. But the thing about it is when you got on a bus, you went to the front of the bus to pay for the bus, and then you had to go to the side of the bus for the entrance for people of color. So you just, when you pay, you normally go like this, you get on the bus, but not then. You paid for your ride, then you got off the bus, and then you went to the back, toward the back of the bus or in the middle of the bus to get in the bus for folks of color. So she paid her fare, went to the back, got on the bus, and the bus was crowded. And then a Caucasian gentleman got on the bus, and the bus was crowded. And the bus driver said, hey, Rosa, get up. She's like, She's in her section. She's in the back, right? But the bus was full, so the bus driver said, no, you give up and give this guy your seat. She said, no. No, I'm not doing that. I am not getting up. Cops came. She was arrested. Later, she was part of that sparked the civil rights movement back in the day. It wasn't much longer than after that segregation was deemed illegal. It was done away with on paper. She stood up for the right thing. And now we have this. Now we have this. Back in 1955, this would have been unheard of. Red and yellow, black and white. They are precious in his sight. Let me close. If a lightning bolt struck a transformer near your house, it could send a powerful surge down the line into your house and fry your computer, right? But we have these things called surge protectors that keep that flow of electricity from damaging some of our precious electronics. These verses here in Proverbs are circuit breakers, surge protectors for the soul. The air around us is often static with anger, and our social atmosphere changes as often, so often. We need to install some of today's verses, these verses today, in our lives as surge protectors. I don't know where you're at today. Let me say this, that our Heavenly Father, He loves you, and He sent His Son for each and every one of you. He loved you so much, all of us so much, that He sent His Son to die on the cross for us. And He's saying, hey, I want you to be part of me, because I love you. And so maybe in your life, right now you're saying, I'm tired of being tired. And there's a void in my life, there's an emptiness in my life that I'm looking for something to fill. And I'm trying to fill it with all these earthly things. And they're not getting it. Let me tell you today that Jesus is the only thing, only one, that can fill that void. And I will tell you that your life will be different. There'll be a change in your life that you will experience that is like none other. Now, am I going to tell you that, you know, every day is going to be, No, I'm telling you. Not every day is a holiday. Not every meal is a feast. But you're going to have hard times. And I tell you what, there's no better person that I would like to have by my side during a hard time than Him. Because He's saying, hey, JR. He's saying older person. He's saying younger person. I will not leave you and I will not forsake you. I won't leave you hanging. No matter what you're going through, I'll be there for you. Let me say this. Let me invite you. If He's not there, if you have never had Him as a part of your life before, or maybe you've kind of strayed a little bit, and you're looking to be reconnected with Him, don't walk out of here today not doing that. Heavenly Father, today we we've learned from Your Word how we are to carry ourselves, not just on Sundays, but every day. How sometimes we are to keep our words and thoughts to ourselves. How there are times when that we need to be encouragers, that we need to speak positive things into someone else's life. And not only that, that we must speak up. We must take a stand. When everything else around us is going awry, we need to stand up and we need to be the voice, Your voice, that speaks love into those who are hurting. In Your name I pray. Amen.